Good to be with you. I hope that you will be able to overlook the shortness of breath, and you just pray, and you can just lift up a prayer right now that my voice would get stronger as I go along rather than weaker. Amen? Are you afraid of that? You scared of me? Yeah, I see all those smiles. You just smirked when I said that. It is so good to be with you. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3? And as you find that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will begin at the first verse when we read in just a moment. Did you know, if you were listening to the announcement, you do, that our adult Bible studies are starting very soon, next week, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday? Are you signed up? Are you going to join us in Bible study? I hope that you are. Now, if I said this, listen, if I told you, come and join us for an exciting study of doctrine, yeah, there's always one, I think I don't even have to ask what your reaction would be. Unfortunately, a lot of people believe that when we talk about or say the words exciting doctrine, they think that's an oxymoron. How can doctrine be exciting? Instead, they kind of think, well, a doctrine study might be a cure for insomnia. I think it might put you to sleep, right? Less than a life-changing experience. And I'm going to tell you, I think that's really unfortunate, because Scripture reveals that a church's very life depends on truth. It depends on sound doctrine. And folks, I'm going to tell you, that comes right from God's word. Amen? It doesn't come from a man. It doesn't come from letters. It comes from God's word. You see, Satan seeks to destroy the very life of a church through bad doctrine, false doctrine. Now, a few weeks ago, it's been several, I started this series on how Satan attacks the church, and we talked about how he attacks the unity of the church. Today we're going to talk about false doctrine. Would you stand with me as we read God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, we'll read through verse 17. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Have I described anything y'all have noticed around today? And we're not even through yet. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, what does it say? Turn away. Don't have anything to do with them. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's application. There's a difference between knowledge and applying what God gives you. So in other words, don't just fill your head, you fill your heart and your life. Amen? Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Stop. Have you from childhood known the Holy Scriptures? And if you haven't, you better get busy. Amen? Because it is key to doctrine and sound doctrine. From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. Verse 16 says, what Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Father, we are grateful for your word. Would you help us not just to put it in our mind, but to apply it to our life? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated? God places a really and very high importance on sound doctrine. The Bible oftentimes instructs us about the importance of truth and strong doctrine. Look at verse 16 again. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that the man of God might be complete. Folks, we need to be complete. That's what finishing our faith is all about. The Bible tells us that it's important to have truth. Matthew chapter 16 talks about the yeast of the Pharisees, and that yeast is bad doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4 says, don't be tossed back and forth by the ways of doctrine, good doctrine, bad doctrine to good doctrine. Don't be tossed back and forth, just go to the good. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, don't abandon the faith because of deceiving spirits. You see, Satan wants you to be deceived, and he sends his spirits, the evil spirits, to deceive you into untruth. Revelation chapter 2, as you may recall, when God addressed the churches, he told one church, he said, I hold against you the teachings of Balaam, the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And he says, you need to repent from those bad teachings or I will fight against you. Now, who's going to fight against the church if they've got bad doctrine? Was it John? No, the letter wasn't from John. Who is the letter from? Jesus Christ. The Lord our God said, I will fight against you if you keep teaching bad doctrine. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to fight against God. Amen. Dear friends, Scripture puts a high premium on truth, that sound doctrine. 10 times in the New Testament, 10 times it says, believers, don't be deceived. 20 times it shows us where Satan and different people would try to deceive the church. And we're warned to guard against this kind of attack. Why? Because the deception of Satan is one of his main strategies, to try to get us off of the truth, to try to get us from sharing the truth. He will try so many ways to keep us from sharing God's word. You see, doctrine, dear friends, if we're going to talk about doctrine, it's the sum of who you are and your beliefs. It's the sum of all you believe. It's the sum of your values. Our belief about who God is. Who do you believe God is? Do you believe that God is real? Do you believe that God is strong? Do you believe that God is always there? That's doctrine. And if we begin to say, well, you know, I really don't care about doctrine, you better change your heart. You need to know the truth of God. You need to know about Christ Jesus, who he is, how you relate to him. That's doctrine. How truth, who is a person, not a thing, because Christ is our truth, how truth works itself in our life every single day. How do we relate to Jesus? Is he just a belief? Is he just a religion? Or do you love him with all your heart? That's doctrine. Friends, we need to be drawing closer to God through sound doctrine. If any teacher here, any teacher anywhere, if they teach the word of God in a manner that seems to make any of it irrelevant, that is not of God. That is bad doctrine, and they are perverting the scripture to say, oh, we're just going to skip over this because it's not important. Dear friends, all scripture is written, God's word said, by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable, every scripture. Unfortunately, there are times that scripture is taught and doctrine is taught without application. And if you don't teach people how you apply this to life, what you've got is head knowledge, and it doesn't help. If you don't apply it, you just get, as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, you just get puffed up. He said, now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we possess all knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. In other words, people get arrogant when they think they know all the scripture and they know the word of God. I've had people in the past who would not go to Bible study, and they would bring their families, but they would hang out outside, and I'd say, well, hey, well, how about you go to a Bible study? Oh, I already know it all. And I just went, wow, I don't. You know, sometimes knowledge puffs us up. It makes us proud and arrogant. But instead, God's word says that we need to apply the love of God to our life. A lot of people get a head knowledge without a real understanding. And I'm going to tell you, that information that we get from God's word is supposed to be applied to life, and it's supposed to be lived out. Now, why is it so important that we take God's word and apply it to our life? Because Satan wants to pervert the scripture, and he wants to pervert it in our hearts. Now, there's three reasons that he wants to mess scripture up in your mind. Three reasons: he wants you to remember it wrong, he wants you to apply it incorrectly, or he wants you just to believe that it's not true. First of all, doctrine, God's word, understanding God's word is this: it determines your actions and your lifestyle. If you have God's word in your heart and you believe it, it will affect how you live. Amen? Do you remember after you became a Christian and you began to read God's word and it began to talk to you about sins? And it began to talk to you about attitudes, and it began to talk to you about ways that you should worship. And you go, well, I didn't realize that. Hopefully, as you read it and you believed it, you applied it to your life. Satan wants you to get a bad interpretation. He wants you to get no interpretation. And he doesn't, for sure, want you applying it to your life. Doctrine is our belief in God. Do you believe God's real? That was weak. Shall we try again? Don't do it like in your pastor's voice. Do it in your voice. Do you believe God is real? Do you believe God is alive? Do you believe that God affects your heart and mind when you ask him to? Do you believe that God is sovereign? He's in control. Do you believe that he brings salvation through grace? Do you have to add your works to it? Should you? Oh, man, y'all are good. Somebody's been teaching you well. Do we call sin, sin? Or do we call it a choice? Or do we call it a lifestyle? Or would you say everybody's free to choose? And they are. But does that make it godly? No. Doctrine, friends, is a filter for evaluating truth. When you read God's word, I am so thankful that we've got this technology. I know it's a pain in so many ways, but this technology on the telephone that can send you scriptures daily, and all you have to do is punch it and your phone reads it out loud to you. That's cool. Are you using it? If you're not, you should. It's sent to you every day so that we get through the Word of God in 1 year reading through the whole Bible. Doctrine gives us a filter for truth. And as you read the Word, as you hear the Word, as you apply it to your life, you get the truth because God's truth comes through and the world's truth doesn't make it through the truth of God. The world is so full of conflicting messages, amen? You just walk out into the world. I guarantee you, you can walk down to the local Home Depot and get a direct message against the Word of God. All you have to do is watch their commercials. Understand this, the world is full of those conflicting messages, whether it's about abortion or adultery or homosexuality or drunkenness or not taking care of ourselves. Folks, the world says sin is okay. The world says it's a choice. The world says it's a lifestyle. And the world even says that those of us who do stand for truth are the ones who are wrong. Don't they? Every person, this includes you, needs the means of evaluating what you hear from this pulpit, from the classrooms, on the radio, in your homes, at work. You need the ability to evaluate what you hear. Don't ask your friends what they think. Don't ask your friends what's right and wrong. You've already got it. It tells you right here in God's Word. That's why you need to know it. And if you are having trouble figuring it out, you had better seek God's Word if you're looking for truth. And if you're not looking for truth, you'll go to one who's living in that same sin and go, is it okay? And they're going to go, sure. What do you think somebody living in it's going to say? Dear friend, if you want truth, if you want the blessing of God, you go to the source, not to the source that is tainted, which is the world. Doctrine gives us a filter for what's true. Third thing is, sound doctrine is necessary for you to be useful in God's kingdom. If you don't have sound doctrine, you might be able to do good works, but how in the world are you going to testify to the truth of God? The Pharisees were religious, were they not? Oh, they were the most of religion that religion could be in their day. And they missed the promised Messiah. Do you know why? Bad doctrine. They listened to man instead of the Word of God. They missed Jesus. They missed their very own Messiah. Mark chapter 2 says that their man-made doctrines even led them to oppose God's Son. They didn't just miss Him, they opposed Him, all from bad or false doctrine. Revelation chapter 2 that we mentioned a little earlier, the Nicolaitans. Why were they so bad? Because they had perverted godly sexuality. Sexuality is a gift from God inside the marriage. And they were putting out a practice that said it's okay to enjoy what God has given you. And God said, I'm going to put you people down. I'm going to show you what perversion of my word will do to you. Dear friend, when we are led into immorality, we know we've missed the word of God. And the purer our understanding of God's word, the purer our actions will be, and the greater that God will be able to use us. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important to make sure that what you are teaching and what you are believing is what God taught, not what man has taught. You see, the question is not if Satan will try to deceive you, but when he will try to deceive you. Scripture reveals a constant supply of false prophets. Constant supply. Jesus said many, not a few, but many would come, and their express purpose for being here is going to be to deceive those of God and the world. Let me tell you, it's going on right now, even in our own community. Did you know that right here in our very own school district, they're trying to implement a program called the International Baccalaureate? I found out a little bit about that. Did you know that one of its major proponents and writers is a person named George Walker, and he recently wrote a paper called East is East and West is West. In that paper, he said this, listen, empathy and scientific understanding create a set of moral values that confer dignity upon human beings who have the capacity to say no to God. Hello? Is that what you want being taught in our high schools? That a new morality is going to be brought out through science? And that they don't need to listen to God? How about one more? Humankind must now learn to take responsibility for its own behavior without necessary appeal to some higher religious authority. Satan is teaching his doctrine. Are we going to teach God's? Are we? We better. Don't you even think. Don't you even begin to think that Satan is not busy teaching. And I'm going to tell you, what do you think these unbelievers and these atheists would do if we said, look, we want to put our flavor on these things in the schools? They'd have an absolute fit. And yet they're doing theirs. Why are we allowing this? Friends, I got to tell you, Satan's teaching his doctrine. We would sure be better be teaching God's doctrine. The third point this morning is this. Identifying Satan's major deceptions is not difficult. It's fairly easy. The first thing that Satan wants to do, if he can, is to make you question the divinity and or the full humanity of Jesus Christ. If he can get you to question the divinity of Christ, then you might begin to believe that he wasn't God before he gave himself to be fully man. And if you don't believe that he became fully man, you have got to question, how did he get through it without sinning except to call on his God card to do what he could do because he was divine and because he was God himself? No, he turned that loose to show us that we could depend on God the Father to help us through every step of life. Friends, he causes us to question our own basis of salvation. Is it by faith or is it by works? And yet we know that even though it is by faith, he tries to put in the believer, especially those who've gone through a tough time in life, he tries to put this thought into them that they've got to do something to aid in their salvation. And if that's the case, friend, why did Jesus die on the cross? That's why Satan does that, to deny or downplay just how important Jesus' sacrifice for our atonement is. Three, Satan encourages bad beliefs so that we'll be led to immorality. He encourages beliefs that lead to sin. Have you ever heard this one? What does it matter what you do? God will forgive you. Have you ever heard somebody say that? It doesn't matter what you do. God will forgive you. Shall we continue to sin so that grace may increase? Paul said, heaven forbid, he said, that we would do that. Friend, it's true. Any sin that is repented of, God will forgive if you take it to him, if you ask him to in faith. That's true. But I'm going to tell you, when people who are claiming to be representatives of Jesus Christ sin in the world, just like the rest, folks, our witness is lost. I'm going to tell you that joke again. I've told you, I don't know how many times. But you remember the old pirate who decided to come into town and go to church? Do you remember him? Had the parrot on his shoulder. He walks into church. And right in the middle of church, as it got quiet, the old parrot said, "Juke joint! Juke joint!" And the pirate says, "Shh, be quiet! Juke joint! Juke joint!" He says, "You stupid parrot, this is church! Same crowd! Same crowd!" I love that joke. Just because I get to do the pirate voice, you know. So. Same crowd? Are we any different from the world, dear friends? Satan then leads us to viewpoints that lead to division. If you go back, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but you can go back and read that. Romans chapter 14 tells us, don't let disputable matters deceive us. Don't let disputable matters become a basis for division in the church. In other words, the scripture goes through and it talks about whether it's about salvation or Christ or Jesus. If it's not about those things that are irrefutably about the nature of God and what he has done, does it really matter? Maybe it's a matter of opinion. And folks can go to different churches. I think that's why there's so many churches. Also because so many of us can't get along with others. And yet, the scripture tells us, don't, if it's not about the nature of Christ, if it's not about the nature of salvation, you fall prey to Satan when you argue over little stuff. Amen? Maybe we have a little difference. But if we remember what it's all about, God the Father, God the Son coming to this earth, living a perfect life, dying on the cross, raising from the dead, going to the Father to prepare a place for us, that he's going to come back and receive us. Folks, there are very few things that we can at least discuss and look in the scripture about to find if there isn't a definitive answer. In other words, dear friends, what God did not make a point of fellowship, we should not make an issue of fellowship. Amen? Amen? Amen. Friends, that's a part of doctrine, to understand that if it's not totally clear, God gave us a little room. But we need to seek out what all of God's Word says. So how are Christians deceived through these things? First and foremost, folks, I think it's going to be ignorance. And then secondly, it's going to be laziness or arrogance. So first of all, you can be deceived by Satan on the basis of ignorance. Hang on just a second while I catch some breath. Amen. I get excited and I talk fast. And I forget to breathe. That's important, you know. You see, you can be deceived on the basis of ignorance. And the universal characteristic of all people who are deceived is this. They did not know that they were being deceived. Amen? They didn't understand. They didn't know. If you do not know the Bible, how can you know the truth? If you don't know God's word, how can you know what he wants you to know? And if all you ever hear is the interpretation from your leader or your Bible study leader, and that's all you ever hear, you are ripe for deception. I'm going to tell you, I will not preach anything other than the word of God, but I'm going to tell you, you better be checking to make sure that I stay on that path. Amen? Your Bible study leaders, check them out. Go back and read the word of God yourself. Since ignorance is a basis for so much deception, the solution is simple, dear friends. Arm yourself with the word of God. Know the word of God. It will guard you from lies. It gives you that filter for truth. And where you have already begun to be influenced by lies, reading the word of God will expose them, and it will cause a disturbance in your heart. God's word will convict you. So stay in God's word, so you can respond correctly to false doctrine. I'm going to tell you where you can get some of that every Sunday morning, right here. Every Sunday morning in the classrooms, every Sunday morning from the pulpit. On Wednesday night, we teach our kids a program called Awana, Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. It is a Bible-based program. We teach youth the Word of God. Singles, ladies have a class. I teach a class for anybody and everybody. So friend, you can be deceived by ignorance, and that just means that you need to get in the Word of God to learn it. Sometimes ignorance is because we're young and growing. Sometimes ignorance is because we're lazy. And deception can come from laziness, not comparing and analyzing a teaching in the light of God's Word. Don't be lazy and don't be arrogant. Search for yourself in the Scripture. And you may say, well, I already know that. You know what? Why don't you just confirm it? Use the word of God. Do you remember this in Matthew chapter 4? Satan came, took Jesus out into the wilderness. Do you remember the 40 days of temptation? And Satan tempted Jesus. He said, if you're hungry, just turn these stones to bread. Well, what was the purpose of him going out there? To fast and pray. Jesus told him, he said, man does not live by bread alone. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, he doesn't live by bread alone, but by the every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then Satan told him, he said, well, he took him to the high cliff, you remember? And he said, just jump off this cliff. The angels will not let you strike a foot on a stone. He was quoting Psalms chapter 91, verses 11 and 12. He was quoting Scripture that the Son of Man will not, you know, is not going to have any harm come to him. Except by the what? The providence of God. Now what I want you to notice is that Jesus did not refute either one of these claims. Did you notice that? He could have done it. He could have called on God the Father and said, God, this is what I'm calling for. But did you notice what Jesus did do? He quoted Scripture back at Satan that corrected his misinterpretation and his pulling Scripture out of context. And he quoted then the last time Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 16, and he said, you shall not test the Lord your God. Satan was technically right. He pulled a Scripture out, and if you look at that one Scripture, that's what it says. But it violated other Scripture, dear people. That's how he perverts Scripture in so many ways, trying to take it out of context so that it appears to support sinful actions. That's why we need to study the whole Word of God. Amen? Are you awake? Are you awake? So what are we to do as believers? As a Christian? As a follower of Jesus Christ, what are we to do? I'm going to tell you, very simple. We're to trust God's word and lean on his Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus sent believers. His Holy Spirit to teach us truth. You go, well, I've read the Bible and it's so hard sometimes. Listen, if you get confused, you do what God's Word says to do. You call on God's Holy Spirit and tell Him to teach you the Word of truth. The Holy Spirit's not going to leave you hanging out there just to be cut off. He's going to show you and teach you the truth. Now, you can indeed go to mature believers who could help you, but dear friend, you need to go to God's Word first and ask God to show you what it means. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, to give us and teach us truth, to guard us against false doctrine. That's what John chapter 16, verse 13 says. It says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Folks, God said His Holy Spirit will teach you. He will help you with truth. Ultimately, dear friends, we must depend on God's Holy Spirit. If you don't depend on God's Holy Spirit, that's the second point in this closing. And not only should you just depend on God's Holy Spirit, do not depend on your own intellect. I know some of you are extremely intelligent, most of you, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to God's Word, you don't depend on your intelligence. You depend on God's Holy Spirit. Don't even depend on your great Bible study skills. Your ability will lead you astray. Your ability will lead you to arrogance. Your ability will lead you to knowledge. Dear friend, trust God. When you seek and you trust the Lord your God, you are exposed to His teaching and His Holy Spirit. So when you seek and trust God, but you're exposed to an untruth, then guess what? The Spirit of God will let you know. Let me ask you, just a head nod testimony. Have you ever been told something that was quote unquote biblical, or a biblical teaching, or somebody who said, this is the truth from God's Word, and they told it to you, and you just went, oh, no, 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 no. Anybody? Man, all of us probably. And inside your spirit, the Holy Spirit is going, no, 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 no. That ever happened to you? If it hasn't, it's because you're not depending on God's Holy Spirit for His truth. Friends, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust His Holy Spirit. Take the teaching and question to the Bible. Yes, again, you can talk to mature believers, but folks, take it to the Word of God. And the last thing this morning, we must ask the Holy Spirit of God to be our daily guide. Are you asking Him to? As we walk in truth, God's Holy Spirit will guide you. Here's something I think that will be a real encouragement to you. It's not in the outline, but if you're keeping notes, write this scripture down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. It says this, faithful is He who called you, and it is He who will accomplish it in you. Faithful is He who called you, and He, that's the Lord our God, will accomplish it in you. Friend, you don't have to know it all. You don't have to be the best Bible scholar in the world. What you have to be is obedient to God. He says, call on Me. If you love Me, you'll obey Me. Obey His Word. And friend, that is where joy comes in your heart and life. Can I pray for you? Join me in prayer. Thank You, precious Lord, for Your Holy Spirit. Sometimes, Lord, we think we're able, and then truth hits our life, and we find, Lord, that without You, we're weak. So, Father, help us to realize we're weak and You're strong. Help us to lean on You, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to practice the things that you teach us in truth so that we're not just puffed up with the knowledge, but we truly are living in love of our Lord. Father, sometimes doctrine is deep and it requires a lot of prayer, a lot of thought, a lot of trust. Help us, God, to grow deeper in our walk with you every single day. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity. Would you ask the Lord to deepen your walk with him? Would you ask him to help you to understand? Would you ask him to give you truth? Friend, without that, you remain a child, a babe in Christ. Would you ask him that what you do learn, he would help you to apply so that your walk and your talk match? If God has laid on your heart the need to be renewed in your walk in his word, would you ask him to help you with it now?